Amazon. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الصلاة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
جماعت احمدیہ کی مخالفت اور احمدیوں کو تکلیفیں پہنچانا.
حضور says that the opposition to Jamaat Ahmadiyya and the inflicting of harm against Ahmadis is not a new occurrence of today or something just from the recent past of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat's history. In fact, from the outset of the claim itself of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the foundation for this opposition was laid. Some of those who were close to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who pledged support and friendship to him, according to whom, more than the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, there was no one who served Islam in that time. Yet, despite this, when they heard his claim, when they heard this proclamation of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that Allah the Almighty has said to me again and again that that Messiah and Mahdi who was to come is you. In this era, in this time to connect mankind with Allah, and in this time, you are the beloved of Allah because today, more than you, there is nobody more who loves the great lover of Allah. It is you alone who fulfills the prophecy of وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, those others from among them who had not yet joined him. So all those people who had believed him to be a strong and true Mujahid of Islam, who believed that he was peerless, that there was none comparable to him in that era. So those very people, they not only turned away from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in fact, in order to inflict suffering upon the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in order to insult him, they joined forces with the non-Muslims, with those people who were at the forefront to insult the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And they went to the extent of raising false allegations of murder against the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they stepped forward to give false testimony against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and bear witness against him. So therefore, this opposition that we face until today, this is nothing new for Jamaat Ahmadiyya. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, himself, when he had just a handful of people who followed him and believed in him, as I stated, he had to go through and face this cruel and oppressive persecution. He had to face cases and litigation against him. Then, within the life of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him itself, his followers being deprived of the worldly provisions and also their properties and possessions, they had to pass through this punishment. They had to face the punishment of being separated from their wives and their children. This went to the extent that from amongst the followers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, two loyal and staunch disciples of his in the land of Kabul, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had to bear the news of their martyrdom, which caused him great anxiety and pain. Amongst these martyrs, one was he who was the Ra'is-e-Azam. He was the one who had thousands of followers. He was the one who in the court of the king held great honor and was deeply revered. So therefore, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had to bear the tragic news of the martyrdom of these two angelic-like, saintly and loyal and staunch disciples of his. Upon the martyrdom of this martyr, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote about this in great detail in his book, Tazkaratu Shahadatain, the narrative of the two martyrs, and he spoke about their righteousness and also their piety, how they accepted Ahmadiyyat, their nobility, and also the extraordinary level of faith. Alongside mentioning these details, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also related the account of their martyrdoms based on letters that he received from his followers. So the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, provided a summary based on those letters and related the account of their martyrdoms. So in the end of this, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that, O Abdul Latif, may thousands of blessings be showered on you, for you within my own life have displayed unparalleled loyalty to me. Then the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in that very book, counseling and advising us, states that we exhort and advise our followers that to cultivate this very faith, that is the faith of Sahibzada Abdul Latif Shaheed, to attain this, pray for it, because until a person is not completely and entirely devoted to God and remains partly inclined towards the world, he cannot be considered a true believer in the heavens. Therefore, this is a prayer that every single Ahmadi must perform, and we need to mold our actions in accordance with this. We are aware that the history of all prophets tells us this, that upon those prophets, upon their followers, they were inflicted with both adversity and also oppression, to the extent that our master, our beloved, that beloved of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, regarding whom Allah the Almighty stated that, for your sake I created the heavens and the earth. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers also had to pass through these difficulties and this cruelty. People often read history and they would be aware of these facts. With the sacrifice of their property and their children, hundreds and thousands had to give up their lives. In short, whenever upon the Jamaat an era dawns upon them where the level of persecution reaches its intensity and climax, the history of prophets, and most of all, the era of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba, his companions, inclines us towards the example of steadfastness. In parallel to this, this also establishes us firm on this belief that these tribulations and these examinations, the period of them which we have to pass through, they are actually leveling us towards a forthcoming victory. The reason why they are meted out upon us is also to progress and advance us in our faith. They arrive to further strengthen our connection with Allah the Almighty. They also appear to remind us towards prayer. Perhaps the companions of Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave sacrifices of their lives, their time, and their property, and they did not hold back from offering these sacrifices one single bit. However, the victory of Islam and also the successes of Islam were not only a result of those examinations and those sacrifices. In fact, it was also those Muslims who had this special connection with Allah the Almighty, how they would submit and fall down before the threshold of the Divine, Allah the Almighty. Most of all, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who spent his entire nights immersed in prayer, shaking the threshold of the Divine. It was the intense prayers of that Prophet who entirely effaced himself for the sake of Allah the Almighty, who had sacrificed every single aspect of his life for the sake of his Lord. So therefore, in actuality, it was his prayers that developed this great revolution. However, the question is, that was that period of the acceptance of the prayers of this beloved one of Allah, and also the period of the victory of Islam and successes only to last for 50 or 60 years or the first few centuries after Islam? Most surely not. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as he has been entitled Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of the prophets until the end of time. So therefore, this period of the victory of Islam was also to last until the end of times. Now, perhaps there was a period of darkness that came in between, and that period ended. However, by joining with the Akhirin, the latter-day ones, and with the advent of the great lover of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah the Almighty, that period was to re-instigate, which was to demonstrate those same scenes of the victory of Islam that the Quruni Ula, the Muslims of the earliest times, also testified to. However, as I stated, the Muslims of the Quruni Ula, the earliest times, the companions, the Sahaba of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam most of all, and then the Tabi'een, those who followed the companions, those who took beneficence from the Sahaba, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then those people who took beneficence from the Tabi'een, they relied foremost on the being of Allah the Almighty rather than on their own efforts. For this, they would give great emphasis and stress towards prayers. They adorn their entire nights through performing prayers. So therefore, in particular, in the period of the Akhirin, the latter days, when the jihad and the war of the sword have come to an end, prayers hold utmost significance. And every Ahmadi needs to keep this in view. This is the time of the intellectual jihad or struggle. Arguments and reasoning hold sway. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has fully equipped the Jamaat with proofs and also the logical arguments. And no faith of the world can now challenge the most beautiful and excellent teachings of Islam and the Holy Quran. However, the reality is this, that arguments and logic will only come into effect when Allah the Almighty's grace and blessings are present. And to attract Allah's grace and Allah's blessings, it is essential and absolutely necessary to submit and prostrate before Him and to fulfill the rite of prayers and to strive in this regard. At this time, Jamaat Ahmadiyya is at the forefront of proving the superiority of Islam over all other religions in the world. And Jamaat Ahmadiyya is also facing both the hidden enemies and also the apparent enemies of Islam. Jamaat Ahmadiyya, before the world, are presenting the beautiful face of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the excellent and splendid aspects of his life and character, and they are endeavoring intensely to this effect. Jamaat Ahmadiyya are not only rebutting and responding the attacks of the enemies of Islam, but in fact, further they are exposing the true face of those who are making those attacks against Islam. Jamaat Ahmadiyya are providing replies to the objections and allegations against the Holy Quran. In fact, they are also establishing the superiority of the Holy Quran over other religious scriptures in the world. Just a few years ago, when in Europe, when here in Germany, the Pope raised some objections and allegations against Islam and the Holy Quran here in Germany, as I stated. So I inculcated Jamaat Ahmadiyya Germany that they should reply to this in the shape of a book. And Jamaat Ahmadiyya Germany prepared this reply. Many people collectively performed this task, and with the grace of Almighty Allah, they prepared an excellent rebuttal. No other Muslim group or sect could prepare such a reply. In fact, they could not even prepare a brief rebuttal to this allegation. Then in America, there is a priest who regularly raises a storm of criticism against Islam and its teachings. Similarly, there are others who raise allegations against Islam, including writers, Jamaat Ahmadiyya replied to them, they challenged them, but they could not meet this challenge. In Holland and Denmark, replies were given to the people raising allegations there. In fact, they were shown a reflection of their own character, of what they really were. They were exposed in this way. So therefore, the forces against Islam we are confronting already. But alongside this, there is an element of opposition within that sphere who are opposing us. And these people are surpassing all boundaries in their opposition, calling themselves as supposedly Muslims, and on the pretext of the holy name of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they are making crude and foul attacks against the true lover of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They are also making barbaric and oppressive attacks against the Jamaat Ahmadiyya. The so-called ulama, the scholars of Pakistan, are at the forefront of this opposition against Jamaat Ahmadiyya. Just as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is written in Tadhkaratu Shahadatain, the narrative of the two martyrdoms, that the Amir of Kabul was in fact afraid of the Maulvis of the Muslim clergy, and on the behest of the ulama, did the martyrdom of Saizada Abdul Latif Shaheed take place, although perhaps that Amir did hold reverence in his heart for Saibzada Sahib. However, that Amir of Kabul was in the hands of the ulama, even though he was the Amir. This same situation exactly persists in Pakistan today. The government, and then as a result of the government, the public become terrified. They are toys in the hands of these cruel and oppressive ulama, that is, Muslim clergy. Conversely, the majority of these government officials are such, who are compelled to adopt and accept the inhumane direction and ways of these oppressive ulama or Muslim clergy. Anyhow, the Ahmadi who resides in Pakistan today, his concern is not limited only to the potential loss of his life, wealth and property. This is not all that perturbs him. Many Ahmadis write that this persecution now appears to be a part and parcel of our lives. Our days are spent with our lives in great danger and peril. This has become the norm for us. No fear remains to any large degree. However, what concerns and makes us more anxious is that these hostile and antagonistic people, in relation to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, use inappropriate and foul language, which they print in large posters and place this on government buildings and public places. In fact, saying that they use inappropriate or foul language is just an ordinary term to utilize. More appropriate would be to say that they use most obnoxious and disgusting language, which a decent person would not be able to read or hear. So this person writes that these words that these people use, these posters that these people print, more than harming us, this wounds our heart. This causes us to become restless and anxious. This profane language that we hear on the loudspeaker and this disgusting literature, when we look at it, it causes us to cry tears of blood. And when this issue is raised with the government officials, then either it goes in one ear and out the other, or they reply that we are powerless or unable to act. But anyhow, great tales of patience, sacrifice and tolerance are being written by the Ahmadis in Pakistan. So in short, to make these sentiments of sacrifices fruitful, there is only one route, that submit and prostrate before Allah the Almighty. Through prayers, drown your prostrations in tears of supplications. In order to shake the firmament of heaven, you need to foster and develop that state, which open up the doors of success and victory for the Sahaba Rizwanullah alayhim, the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah be pleased with them. Today, it is prayers alone that can protect us and safeguard our hearts from these people and their onslaughts. It is prayers alone that can safeguard us and protect us from these people. The opponents who, in the name of Islam, in the name of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in opposition to the Jamaat, the pace at which their persecution and oppression is speeding up and intensifying, to that same pace, we need to give attention towards our prayer. In fact, we should even give greater attention towards our prayer, so that we can rapidly draw and attract the graces and blessings of Allah the Almighty. I would like to especially draw the attention of the Ahmadis of Pakistan that do not just perform ordinary prayers. You must give attention towards special prayers, and you must pray more intensely than ever before. Moreover, alongside these prayers, every week also undertake a voluntary fast. In this same vein, the Ahmadis in the world who are of Pakistani origin, pray most intensely for your Pakistani Ahmadi brothers. Similarly, Ahmadis all over the world who are not of Pakistani origin, they should pray especially and profusely for their Pakistani Ahmadi brothers. May Allah the Almighty rapidly annihilate these enemies of God, so that quickly peace and harmony could be established in the nation, and also so that what is said regarding this chosen one of Allah, these lies and fabrications that are upset against him, these can end and the nation can be saved. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that this nation will be saved from its doom. Most certainly, Pakistani Ahmadis hold this right, that non-Pakistani Ahmadis should pray for them, because these are those very people who conveyed the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to you. Most surely, when you supplicate in this state of distress and intensity, weeping and crying, then Allah the Almighty listens to you. When today, against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the peak and the heights of derision, ridicule and insult against him is occurring, what can cause us more hurt and pain that can lead us to fall down in the state of distress, desperation and anguish in prayer? So therefore today, every single Ahmadi needs to pray in the state of desperation and intensity, because Allah the Almighty never lets go to waste the prayers and supplication of he who prays in a state of deep agitation and desperation. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that Allah the Almighty says in one place in the Holy Quran that one sign of the recognition of Allah is that Allah is he who listens to the person who prays in great agony and anguish, as Allah the Almighty states, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دُعَاهُ, that Allah is the one who answers a distressed person when he calls upon him. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says further, that remember, Allah the Almighty is without any need. Until you do not pray in profusion, intensely and repeatedly, in desperation, distress and agony, he will not heed to your prayers. Look, when somebody's children or wife is ill, or when somebody is very ill himself, or somebody faces a distressing case, then how desperate and distressed does he become as a result of that predicament? Therefore, until a person does not develop a state of desperation and distress in his prayer, until then, that prayer will be without any effect or without any worth. One condition of the acceptance of prayer is that you pray in distress and desperation, because Allah the Almighty says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دُعَى, that Allah answers a distressed person when he calls upon him. Hazur says that Ahmadis today must especially and particularly pray in the state of desperation and distress and agony. And Ahmadis of Pakistan in particular must pray in this way, and they must pray in the context of the circumstances in Pakistan. They should pray that Ahmadis are saved from this extreme opposition and persecution against them. We need to pray in this intense agony and distress. as I stated, the Ahmadis who reside in Pakistan, they are demonstrating the state of distress and agony in their prayer. That is, some Ahmadis, not all Ahmadis, but we need to demonstrate and manifest this even more. We need to express this agony in our prayers to a greater extent. And every Ahmadi, purely and devotedly, must pray to be saved from these oppressive and cruel people. This is our weapon. And towards this, repeatedly and again, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has reminded us and drawn our attention. I remember that during the era of the fourth Khilafat, when I was in Rabwa, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi had already appointed me as a Nazr-e-Ala. In terms of the predicament of Pakistan, prayers were offered. Whereas at that time, in comparison to the state of Pakistan today, it was not even a fraction as bad. There is no parallel. It is incomparable. So in a dream, I heard a voice that if 100% of Pakistani Ahmadis devotedly and sincerely submit before Allah the Almighty, then the plight of Pakistan would come to an end through the prayers of just a few nights. From the very first day, I am drawing the attention of the Jamaat to reform their own state and towards prayers that give great attention and heed towards these things. Unconsciously, every topic I take up leads towards this. In short, this is a certainty that inshallah, God willing, the promise of victory that has been attached with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that will be fulfilled inshallah, God enabling. However, not only is it a promise, but it is being fulfilled. And the Jamaat in Pakistan, however, the Jamaat needs to give great heed towards prayers. And we are seeing the fulfillment of this promise in Pakistan, that with the grace of Almighty Allah, that despite the unfavorable circumstances, the Jamaat there is moving towards progress and advancement. Every effort of the opponents and every onslaught of the opponents, to the intensity and endeavor through which that is being carried out, through the special grace of Almighty Allah, Allah does not allow the enemy to succeed. There are extremely dangerous intentions of the enemies. So this is the promise of Allah the Almighty, and Allah, purely and purely through His special grace, is going on protecting and safeguarding the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. However, this trial and this tribulation should draw us intensely towards the following, that more than ever before, devotedly and committedly, we should supplicate and ask for help from Allah. Every child, every elder, every man and woman of ours needs to totally efface their own personal emotions and sentiments and submit and prostrate before Allah and completely and entirely bow down before God, and making intense and perfect efforts to fulfill the due of God and mankind, they should submit before Allah. When this occurs, then this cruelty, this oppression and hostility will vanish and disintegrate before our very eyes. The decree of Allah the Almighty will most surely be dominant and gain victory. However, whether this decree quickly comes to pass or takes a long time, sometimes this depends on the actions and also the prayers of people. Sometimes a whole generation has to wait for this to occur. So when Allah the Almighty indicates that I am most certainly going to cause this task to be fulfilled, however, if you want it to happen quickly, that is, if you want this decree to occur rapidly or sooner, in order for this to happen sooner, you need to develop a revolution. In other words, you need to develop a revolution within. You need to reform your own state. We need to understand the message of Allah. Therefore, come today through your prayers. You need to shake the threshold of heaven and make endeavors to shake the firmament of the threshold of the divine. Every single one of us devotedly and committedly needs to submit before Allah the Almighty so that the mercy of the Lord, which most surely is in motion for us, that it comes into further motions, especially for all of us, and so that we can be saved from these cruel and oppressive people. If this revolution is not developed in 100% of us, then if in at least a majority of us this revolution is developed, then more than before, to a greater extent than previously, we will witness this demonstration of the victory. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to understand the spirit of prayers. And may we be those who consider the etiquette of this prayer, so that very quickly, sooner and rapidly, we can witness the grace and blessings of Allah. May we never begin to assume in our hearts that although we are praying so much, to such a great extent, yet Allah is not fulfilling our prayers. He is not displaying to us those manifestations. Actually, Allah is fulfilling our prayers. Our humble supplications and prayers, our trivial efforts, through Allah the Almighty's special mercy, He is providing such fruits that we become astonished witnessing this. And this increases our faith in the existence of Allah. First of all, as I stated, that in Pakistan, how there are schemes of the enemies against the Jamaat, and how on a daily basis these schemes are intensifying against the Jamaat, and conversely, they are not succeeding in any way, shape or form. Then within Pakistan itself, the Jamaat with the grace of Almighty Allah is strengthening in its faith. And anyhow, countless blessings and graces are being seen by the Jamaat in Pakistan. Then in the world, how Allah the Almighty is introducing the Jamaat everywhere, and how Allah the Almighty is displaying new routes of progress and advancement in the world. These are the fruits being provided to us as a result of our trivial efforts and our humble supplications and prayers. Secondly, if in anybody's mind there is even the slightest doubt or hesitation that, God forbid, our prayers are not being heard by God, so he should carry out istighfar. And he should remember that Allah is Malik, the Master. And our work is to go on supplicating and begging from the Malik, the Master. There are etiquettes for this as well. And we need to fulfill those etiquettes. To fulfill those etiquettes of prayer is our task. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, speaking about the etiquettes of prayer. He draws our special attention towards that. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained to us that whilst praying, never become frustrated or tired, and never think ill of Allah the Almighty that perhaps He does not hear our supplications. First of all, the acceptance of prayers, that according to the law of nature, takes its own time. Secondly, it is not necessary that the manifestation of the prayers occurs according to the manner in which the prayer was performed or asked. In fact, Allah the Almighty sometimes, in some other means, in some other manifestation or demonstration, displays His love. As I stated, that in the progress and advancement of the world, the sacrifices and supplications of the Ahmadis in Pakistan is playing a significant role. The third proponent is that a person needs to also reflect on its own state and condition, that has he devotedly and purely fulfilling the right of Allah the Almighty, submitted and bowed his head down on the threshold of the divine? If you reflect on this, then you will see that the fault lies with the person if the prayers are not accepted. In one place, mentioning the etiquette of prayers, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states, that the means of supplicating to Allah is that etiquette are required. And when an intelligent person asks something from a king, then he always adheres to certain etiquettes. This is why in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah the Almighty has taught us how prayer should be asked. And Allah has taught us that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praise belongs to Allah, who is Lord of all the worlds. Then Ar-Rahman, that is, even before we have asked Him for anything, He provides for us and provides for all mankind. Then there is Ar-Rahim. Based on the sincere and true efforts of a person, Allah the Almighty provides him with rewards and blessings. Then there is Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. Accountability, punishment and reward are in His hands. He can cause someone to die or keep him alive. This accountability and reward in punishment relates to this life and the afterlife. Hazur says there is an accountability in this life and in the next world. They are both in His hand. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says further, when a person profusely praises Allah, he realizes how phenomenal is our Lord, who is the Lord, who is gracious, who is merciful, through which we believe in the unseen. In other words, when this is prayed, then these attributes of Allah, it leads us to believing in the unseen. So subsequently, he prays to him, considering him to Allah to be right before him. So these are the first degrees of the state of belief in the attribute of Allah when you have belief in the unseen. And your belief strengthens to that degree that you believe Allah the Almighty to be as if right before you, as if Allah is standing right in front of you. And then he prays, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Thee alone do we worship, Thee alone do we implore for help. إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us in the straight path, such a path that is completely straight. It does not deviate or there is no crookedness about it. There is one path of the blind. They go on endeavoring and they tire and no fruit, so no result comes out of that. There is another path in which when you make efforts, you receive results. Then further, there is Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, that is the path of those people on whom Thou hast bestowed Thy blessings, and that is Sirat al-Mustaqim, that path upon which when you tread, you receive rewards and blessings. Then there is Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim, not the path of those people who have incurred Thy displeasure, and Walad Dhalin, not of those also who have gone astray. So therefore, we also need to fathom and be acquainted with the etiquettes of prayer. Allah's principal and basic attributes, that is Rabb, Lord, then there is Rahman, the gracious, Rahim, the merciful, Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. When you have perfect and complete belief in this, when you have absolute faith in these attributes, it is then that you will be inclined towards worship and prayer. And it leads a person to becoming humbled, and he becomes the person who searches for the help and succor of Allah the Almighty, for those rewards and those blessings. Does he supplicate to Allah, which Allah the Almighty provides to His pure and sincere people? This fear should remain, that let no act of mine, let no deed of mine incite the wrath of Allah. The fear of Allah should always permeate in the heart. A humble person always remains engrossed in the following endeavor, that may I never move far from my Lord. May that time never dawn when I forget Allah completely. So therefore, when this state is formed, then prayers are accepted and rewards are drawn nearer to you. The scenes of victory are shown to you. The destruction of the enemy is displayed before you. So therefore, as I stated, come, and more than before, strengthen your faith, becoming pure, becoming devoted, prostrate and submit before Allah. If our enemy has reached the heights of their opposition, then we as well need to testify to this couplet of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that nihaham ho gaye yaar-e-naham, that we hide ourselves behind that hidden friend. Most certainly, when we beg and supplicate for the help and succor of our Lord, immersing ourselves in a submission and prostration, He will run towards us and He will annihilate and destroy our enemies. If there was a person who had a special connection with Allah the Almighty, through his arrows of the night, through those prayers he carried out at night, which shake the firmament of the heavens, that he could cause defeat to those royal courtiers through them. He could compel them to fall down in submission and cause them to admit that we are unable to compete with these arrows of the night. Then we, most certainly, who are the followers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who Allah the Almighty provided the glad tidings to, that I am with you and your beloved ones. So if we pray through the arrows of the night and we compete with those arrows of the night, then most surely we will attain success and victory. However, perhaps there was a glimmer of piety amongst those courtiers, because those courtiers, out of fear of those arrows of the night, they halted teasing that saintly person and they changed their position and they refrained from their hue and cry. But these people who call themselves Maulvis or the clergy or the Muslim ulama, who on the pretext of the name of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the messenger who was the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy for all mankind, they have accumulated a pile of cruel acts. There is no piety or righteousness in them. They neither have belief in Allah or the messenger. There can be no hope or expectation for any good from them. It appears that their fate now is only destruction and annihilation. And this can only and only be achieved through our arrows of the night. We are the humble servants of that Messiah of Muhammad, who Allah the Almighty reassured, as I stated, that I am with you and your beloved ones. So therefore, when we devotedly and purely supplicate and beg to Allah the Almighty, when we fire our arrows of the night upon the enemies, most certainly Allah the Almighty will demonstrate and manifest a special sign of His glory and His power. So therefore, prayer is such a weapon. That if somebody with perfect and complete belief in it and purely and devotedly carries it out, then nobody can compete against it. There is no doubt whatsoever that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was one sent by Allah and was a chosen one of Allah. And he is that great personage who, in servitude to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in this era, he was sent to establish a connection and relationship between man and God. So when this is true, there is no doubt whatsoever that those promises that are attached with him from Allah, they will most certainly come true, and they will come true. We do not, God forbid, have even the slightest doubt about this, that Allah the Almighty will perhaps not fulfill His promises. Allah does fulfill His promises, and most surely He does fulfill His promises, because Allah is the one who makes true promises. As I said earlier, from the outset of the claim of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, until today, the storms of opposition are still continuing, to the degree that at one time, during the era of Khilafat al-Thaniya, the second Khilafat, the Ahrars had boasted that they would annihilate Qadian brick by brick. Then there was a person who was captivated in the apparent might of his government, that he would compel the Jamaat to beg. Another person, also captivated in the apparent might of his government, he declared Ahmadiyyat a cancer, and he swore that he would uproot this cancer completely. But what was the result. Today, Ahmadiyyat has spread to 200 countries of the world. So therefore, this movement and this dispensation is a beloved movement of Allah. And Allah the Almighty sent His beloved one in this era to irrigate this field of Islam. And at every single moment, we witness the manifestation of Allah's help and succor. So therefore, if there is something that should perturb or concern us, it is not whether the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is the true or chosen one of Allah. And it is not whether Allah the Almighty will, God forbid, perhaps not fulfill the promises due to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In fact, the only thing that should perturb and concern us is, are we fulfilling our duties and obligations in a beautiful and excellent manner or not? Are we those giving attention towards prayer or not? Are we turning to Allah the Almighty in the true sense or not? Are we submitting before the Lord humbly and with humility or not? So therefore, it is now our obligation that we fulfill our duties. When we hear the profane and abusive language against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and when you read the crude words against him, we should not just verbally profess sadness upon this, and nor should we just display agitation and concern on the surface. Rather, through your prayers of the night, you should try to quickly activate the decree and fate of Allah in your favor, and you must strive and endeavor in this regard. You must do this on an individual basis and also on a collective and communal basis. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to pray in such a way that draws and attracts His mercy and grace. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to pray in such a manner that shakes the threshold of the Divine, from where Allah the Almighty would command His angels to command His army that go and help these victims and these oppressed people. That Allah the Almighty says to the angels that help those people who are supplicating to me with the prayer that Rabbi inni maghloobun fantasir. That, O my Lord, I am overcome, so therefore come to my help from my enemies, wasahikum tashika, and pulverize my enemies. Therefore go forth and help these oppressed victims. Those who the majority, who believing that they are the majority and in power, are targeting them through cruelty, who the government, through those oppressive laws, are trying to deprive them of every single right. Those so-called caretakers of religion, who in the name and in the guise and the pretext of religion are trying to annihilate this group. Those people whose only blame is that they proclaimed on the call of the Chosen One of Allah that we heard the crier and we accepted him. Allah would say, so therefore, O angels, go forth. Help these people and inform the world that these people have hearkened to my call. So therefore, I am their friend and helper, and I am the supporter and providing them succor. Today, this claim and proclamation of mine is also true, that Fanim al-Mawla, Fanim al-Masir, that how great is our Master and how great a helper and support He is. Whoever competes with them, Allah the Almighty says that they will compete with me. So therefore, in order to attain this loving relationship of Allah, every single Ahmadi must submit to Allah, must pray to the degree that from the throne, Allah the Almighty would issue the decree to the angels that go forth and help these people. We are weak. We cannot take revenge for these acts against us. These people who utilize this profane, obnoxious and inappropriate language against the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, we cannot do anything about that. There is only one solution, that we must immerse our prostrations in desperation through tears and crying. Allah the Almighty was the protector of the weak and the oppressed. and the friend of those who are in trouble. We should call upon that God of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who turned the predicament of those weak and helpless Muslims, and they became rulers, and who also overturned all the plots and schemes of the enemies. So therefore, O Allah, today we incite your mercy and your glory and power, and we pray to you that this earth, with those people who claim to apparently believe in your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their own vested interests, for their own selfish desires, they have made the land difficult and tight for us. They are striving to make the world jungle-like and perilous for us. So therefore, through your special grace, convert that into a heaven-like abode. Make it into a lush and flourishing garden for us. Encompass us in strengthening taqwa. Enable us to establish an everlasting and eternal relationship with Allah the Almighty. Always accept our prayers. Grant the majority of the Muslims to rid themselves from the grip of the so-called ulama, the Muslim clergy, and to join the jamaat of your beloved one, so that the community of Muslims, the Muslim ummah, can fulfill the right of being the khairi ummah, the best people, and they can rid the world of cruelty and oppression. O forgiving and merciful Lord, display your mercy upon us and enable us to attain this. At this time, there is a tragic news. This also connects with that sequence of cruelty. There is another Ahmadi who has been a target of this oppression in Pakistan. He was martyred a few days ago. His name was Master Dilwar Hussain Sahib, son of Muhammad Sharif Sahib. He was of Sheikhupura. Master Dilwar Hussain Sahib was born on 25 May 1969 in Sheikhupura. His initial education was received there, and then he acquired a BA. He also carried out a teacher training course. On 1st October 2011, on Saturday at 12:30 in the afternoon, unknown assailants entered into the school. They came into the classroom and they fired at him. One bullet hit his neck and the other bullet hit his stomach. He was martyred in this way. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. So at the school, he was quite badly wounded and injured. And in this bad predicament, he was taken to the hospital, where en route he passed away and therefore attained martyrdom. He was a new convert. From the outset, he had great interest in religion and he wanted to search for the truth. He would discuss with various scholars and research different books. He would also research into different Muslim sects. This would be his normal routine. He was a righteous man and interested in personal scholarly research. Based on this, the various innovations that have been spread by various Muslim scholars, he had already annulled and despised that before his birth, his pledge of allegiance. He detested these innovations that have been spread in the Muslim world, for example, Tawiz Gandhi, that is, dispensing amulets and charms. And he would say to his relatives before his birth, his pledge of allegiance, that leave off these things, they are useless. The message of Ahmadiyyat was conveyed to him from some of his relatives. He then started researching into the Jamaat, and he would often come to Rabwa to learn more about the community. Apart from studying different books and literature of the Jamaat, he would also listen to some programs on MTA. So during this period, there he also met a well-known Ahmadi. He started communicating with him, and after some time he resolved that I would do the bid, the pledge of allegiance. When he was told that take some time longer, then do the bid, the pledge of allegiance, first be reassured. So he responded that just take my bid, my pledge of allegiance. How do you know when I will die? And that I do not want to die in a state of ignorance. So therefore take my bid, pledge of allegiance now. So therefore, on 29 September 2010, along with his wife and children, he entered into the fold of Ahmadiyyat. After taking the bear, the Pledge of Allegiance, a revolutionary and extraordinary transformation occurred in his moral standard. Not only did he give more attention towards prayers, he also bound himself to the recitation of the Holy Quran and would inculcate his children to this. He would lead the prayers in his house. He had great love for Khilafat. Immediately after the bid, the Pledge of Allegiance, he made arrangements that not only himself, but he would also watch MTA. He would regularly watch programs on MTA. He had great passion for Dawat-ul-Allah, invitation to Allah, and an extraordinary zeal in this regard. He would preach to his teachers and to his friends. He would regularly bring them in contact with the local Murabbi. Through Jamaat CDs and books and literature, he would convey that to his tabligh contacts, and he would also read it himself. One Murabbi Sahib wrote to me that he was fearless in matters of tabligh, of preaching. Similarly, whenever he saw or heard the name of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, or any Khalifa, there was great reverence and respect in his eyes. He would also have great loyalty and respect for the Jamaat officers and missionaries. The quality of hospitality was distinctive within him. He would regularly offer the Friday prayers and take his children along with him. He was extremely concerned about the tarbiyat, that is the moral training and upbringing of his children, and he desired his youngest child should be a murabbi. He was always ready to offer any sacrifice. Immediately after the bid, the Pledge of Allegiance, he partook in the chanda of the Jamaat. He had to face fierce opposition after his bid, his Pledge of Allegiance. His relatives and friends boycotted him. Yet despite this boycott, he would strengthen his faith. Finally, he would debate with various Maulvis and Muslim clergy. But the Muslim clergy had no arguments. They would be humbled by the proofs from this side. The Maulvis held a gathering in front of his house. All alone, he went to this gathering. When the Maulvis were unable to say anything, they started raising decrees of wajib al-qatl, that he was worthy of being killed. However, fearlessly, he remained attending in that gathering. And through logic and arguments, he tried to discuss with the Maulvis, but the Maulvis had no logical arguments, so they abused them, and finally he had to leave. He had a marriage before, but that first wife passed away. Then, in 1993, he married that first wife's sister. From that second wife, he had two sons and two daughters. Their ages are 17, 15, 9, and 5 years old. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased, and may He provide steadfastness and endurance to the children and wife left behind. May Allah the Almighty grant them patience and also steadfastness. His funeral prayer I will lead, inshallah, after the Friday prayer. There is also a second funeral prayer in absentia. There is a very old worker of Fazl-e Umar Hospital, Abdul Jabbar Sahib, son of Mukarram Fazl Deen Sahib. He passed away on 4th October in the morning. He was ill for some time. He had some heart problems, but anyhow, he was being provided treatment. He passed away at the age of 69, but despite this pain and difficulty, he would fulfill all his duties most excellently and splendidly. He was unable to work in Fazl-e Umar Hospital for approximately 45 years, and he also was granted the opportunity to serve many of the holy people and elders of the Jamaat of old. He had several opportunities to serve Hazrat Khalifat al-Masih III. He was a very courteous and decent person, and I have observed that amongst all the hospital staff, he was the most amiable and courteous. He was a favorite amongst the patients. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank, and may Allah the Almighty also provide endurance and patience to the family left behind. The third janaza of funeral is of Nasir Ahmed Zafar Sahib's son of Mulana Zafar Muhammad Zafar Sahib. Although he was a public servant, on different occasions he had the ability and opportunity to serve the Jamaat. After his retirement, he in a way performed waqf by giving his full time to the Jamaat. He had excellent rapport and relations with the people of the local vicinity. Due to this, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III and Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV and myself, due to his connections with different people, would send him for different duties. He was a good social worker of the community, and he also knew how to build and maintain rapport. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank and also give endurance, patience and help to the family left behind. All of these funerals will, inshallah, God willing, be led after the Friday prayers.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ